give us just what we need tonight. Anoint these lips that we might hear the things we need, that we might grow and give the praise.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to really continuously tune in to every single aspect of the service. This is something the Lord keeps bringing to my mind more and more and more, that sometimes we miss little things. You know, you need to tune in and learn from everything that goes on. Be sensitive to every word that's spoken, every attitude projected. And let every moment of the service be a learning experience for you. Praise God. Let's turn to James in chapter 5, verse 17. Praise the Lord. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. If you, in your own time, I'd like for you sometime to cross-reference that with some scripture in Kings, 1 Kings, where it talks about this. I believe it's about 17:1, where Elias, you know, prayed and it didn't rain and such. And you will find that God had determined that that was going to happen. But then God found a man that could bring it about. It goes along with the scriptures, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound, having been bound in heaven. God is busy doing great things upon the face of the earth. God is busy planning out the victories here on earth. Thousands and thousands of victories God is carefully planning out. But he's looking for people who can be a vessel, who can be a channel to bring this planning into reality. Elias was such a man. He was an individual that was the right type of person to allow God to use him as a channel to bring about the supernatural wherever he went. Read his life. It's exciting to see the miracles that followed his life. And I want to take a few moments tonight to talk about what type of man does it take for God to use in this way. You know, one thing I like about that verse, that does point out that he was subject to like passions as we. That means that he had the same temptations, same weaknesses, the same discouragements, the same whatever, emotional being as you do. He said, well, you mean just like me, or was it somebody else? Well, basically the same as all of you. All of us have basically the same weaknesses. Some are more exaggerated in some people than others. But I find in studying the Old Testament prophets that they had probably more hang-ups than most anybody. Right, Larry? They had a lot of problems. And so they probably had all of your weaknesses rolled up in one. And they desired the same things you desire. They had the temptations that you have. Yet, they was able still to be the dynamic channel to bring forth all the great miracles that happen in the Old Testament. Now, let's turn to 1 Peter. And I believe chapter 5, let's see, we'll find out when we get there. Yeah, chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. It says here in verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, I believe when you study the scriptures, you find that the great men of God had one trait that was common, and that was they was very humble. Very humble men. And you notice it said, casting your care upon the Lord, right after it said, being humble. I think there's a connection there. So many times we try to take a hold on our lives. We try to do what we need and what needs to be done. We get built up. We'll overgive God credit. But when it comes right down to it, we have a grip on our own life. God cannot use a person that's proud, lifted up. Sometimes pride can cause you to be down and out too. It's not always a person on top of things. Pride can be the problem of a person that's down and out and miserable. It just plain doesn't have enough pride to get help, a pride to do what's right, or sometimes it's the person that seems to be on top of things. Now, I like the fact here that it mentions submitting yourselves one to another. You see, God gives you practical laboratories, you might say, to work out spiritual principles. It's difficult to say, well, today I'm just going to not have any more pride. I'm going to be humble. From here on out, I'm going to be humble. That's pretty difficult. So what God does, he gives you a practical experiment. He gives you practical ways so that you can teach yourself humility. And one way in doing this is submitting yourselves one to another. Not to necessarily someone's in authority, but to each other. So many times we're so strong in our opinions, so many times we resist each other. Instead of going around and being humble and esteeming the other better than ourselves. You say, yeah, but what if I'm better? Well, if you're so clear on that, you probably aren't. You know, because usually a person that's really humble will see their own faults a lot faster than they see the other person's, and they'll see the other person's strengths a lot faster than they see their own. And we should see the strengths in other people, and we should listen and be humble, knowing that God can use them just as well as you, no matter where they might seem to be. But I believe that having a humble spirit is one of the keys in being an individual that can be used by God. We need individuals that are really humble and not self-centered, that are very sensitive to other people and very ready for God to use them. And a type of person who will believe with simple faith that things are going to take place and that's it. That's a simple faith. I believe it's going to happen, and I mean little things. It might be such a thing as maybe your wife or your husband coming around to a better relationship, but you believe it, and that's that. It might be something in yourself. You might see a failure in yourself, but you just simply believe that's it. It's going to be okay. I'm going to come through all right. We need individuals that are humble, that really see the hand of God. It says in the Bible just then, the mighty hand of God. Right? The mighty hand of God. And sometimes it seems like people are humble. But I think pride is one of our biggest problems. Self-will and pride. We think we know it all, and we know quite a bit. And we really need to be very humble and willing to listen to anybody. Because God can use anybody, can't he? And we need to be not so sure of things. The only thing we should be sure of is what's written in those pages. So we're so sure of our opinions. We like to use our little brains to figure things out and give people ideas and opinions. The Bible says anything more than yea and nay is evil. We should not be so quick to have good opinions for everybody, how to work all their problems out. We should be humble and we should weigh our words carefully. And when we drop a few words, they should be very well thought out and anointed of God and based on his word. and don't feel like, boy, you're the Mr. Fix-It lady or man. This causes problems in the body, and it keeps you from being used by the Lord. We need to be, it says also in the same context here, sober. We need to be awake, alert, and with a real lowly attitude. Isn't that a simple message? Very simple message. But the Lord has shown me very definitely that this is some of the problems right here. We need to have more miracles right here, don't we? We need to have miracles in this church. I can think of several miracles we need right now if we were open to them. We need a miracle of finance, don't we? We need a miracle in Kay's physical condition. We need a miracle in Ray's physical condition. We need a miracle to get the Larry and Karen down this way, right? We need a miracle. We need a miracle to get Mike and Teresa back together. We need a miracle to get Bill saved, right? We need some miracles. And we should have these miracles. These are simple miracles that can happen very easily. But what God is lacking is people who are very humble, who are very sober about the things that's going around and very alert and are, but still have a very simple, solid faith. It's just going to happen the way the Word says it, and that's that. No matter what I see, what I smell, or what I hear, it's just simply going to happen. Just that. God's way is going to happen. Very simple. Are you a candidate? Kay, are you a candidate for that? Mike, are you a candidate? Don, are you a candidate? Let's get serious. Let's take this to heart. We need some people like Elias, who's got pay, that's got weaknesses, but does not let their own weaknesses stand in your way. You know, now listen to this. Boy, this is really anointed of God. If your weakness keeps you from being great in the Lord, then it's because of pride. If your weakness, your inadequacy, your fear of your failure or your ability, if that keeps you from being mighty in the works of God, it's because you have pride. Because your weakness should not keep you from being great. Because all of the prophets had weaknesses. But they cast those weaknesses upon the Lord, their cares upon the Lord. They were humble enough to say, well, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to go ahead and be great just because you said in your word that it could happen. Right? Just beside, you've used people like me in the scriptures before. And I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I'll probably, you know, it looks like to me I'd blow it if you ever gave me anything to do. But I'm just going to do it. Except, you know, I'll cast that care upon you. It's your ministry. I'm just going to be great. Let you be great in me, even though I'm nothing. I hope you caught that. I hope you caught that. Because that's very important. I would say probably one of the most prevalent things in this congregation tonight that keeps us from becoming great in the Lord and doing miracles and really going beyond normal is that people are afraid of their weaknesses, afraid of their inadequacies, afraid they might fail, might do something wrong. How many would think that might be in your life? Let me see your hands. I'm just curious. Let me see your hands real big. Okay, just curious how many would relate to that. So what do we do about it? What's the answer? Thinking it through very clearly in your mind. Thinking it through very clearly in your mind, even to the point of writing it down. And when you get it thought out the way it should be, think out where you're at, Think about your weaknesses. Think about your fears. Think about what the Bible says it should be. When you've got it clearly pictured, then say, God, that's the way I want it. That's what I decide. Now I cast a care upon you. Yeah, that's all you got to do. And hang in there for the ride. Hang in there for the ride. It says in 1 Peter, talks about suffering again. Right in the context of what I was reading there. It says, if you suffer for a little while, let's see if I can find that real quick, in verse 10, but the God of all grace, ooh, I like that word grace. That's the powerful love, the favor of God that's going to work in you. Grace has nothing to do with you. Who hath called us, ooh, he called you, he chose you. You're not because you're so great and wonderful and so capable. He called you because he believes in your basic motive of your heart. He knows that you can, if you commit yourself to it, that you can hold to it. He called you. He looked at your heart and he called you unto eternal glory. Now, glory is not failure, is it? You're going to have a victory. By Jesus Christ, that's who's going to ensure it. After that, we have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. So once you have decided in your mind very, very clearly exactly what you logically decide is best, the way it is, then you commit that care to the Lord and then hold on for the ride. Hold on to the operating table. And don't be afraid while you're in the process to stand up and commit a few miracles. How many of you have been waiting until you get a little bit more mature in Christ to really step out and do some great miracles? Let me see your hands. Few? Wait until you get a little further around the line, a little bit more secure, a little bit more solid, a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit closer, a little bit more mature. No, that's not the way it works. Right tonight, if you can get the right commitment in your mind, you can have the miracles when you walk out that door. Because it doesn't depend on where your behavior's at. It doesn't depend on where your outward appearance is in maturity. It depends on the maturity of your commitment, the clearness of your commitment. The clearness of your commitment. If it's clear and definite, I don't care what your emotions say, you can have miracles and victories right now. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to comment on anything I've said tonight? Anybody got a question? Praise the Lord. Very simple, short and sweet, but very real, very true. Let it be drilled in your heart tonight. Walk out of here tonight with that attitude. Yeah, Larry. Pardon me? Well, did they know that it was great when it was great? Probably not. I would say probably most of the prophets did not consider themselves great. They probably, well, you know, sat back and watched the Red Sea go up and said, wow, how did that happen? You know, I don't think they felt great. I think they felt humbled by the miracles around them. And I think that's very important. I feel like so many times that our miracles will happen when we least think they should. Because we feel so unworthy in our humble attitude, we feel so incapable, that when they happen, what do? They really overwhelm you at God's grace. Listen, it overwhelms you. It overwhelms you with God's grace when he uses you in a way that you absolutely do not deserve to be used in. But he's got to have the commitment. That's a good interjection there. Anybody else got something you want to interject? Praise the Lord. Okay, when we stand to our feet, praise your Father. Praise your Lord. Praise your Father. Neil, why don't you get on the piano there in case we need to sing? So I like to leave with a song in our hearts. Praise God. Why don't we sing that song, Just Because He Lives? You can face tomorrow. Let tomorrow be a victorious day in your humble way, okay? Praise God. Let's sing it.
Just because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because You live, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Sing it again.
And because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
I might encourage you to really take the words of knowledge to heart if you feel like it's for you. See, I had three different people last week come to me and said, hey, you know, you gave a word of knowledge for me last week, or it was given in the service, and they come true. Della was one of them. She said that she didn't even think about the word of knowledge, and exactly what I said was going to happen. And she went all day into the middle of the night before she thought of it. And as soon as she thought of it and did what I told her to do, it went away. Boy, it would have been nice if she could have backed it up and done that the first thing in the morning when it first started. You see, so many times we have difficulty believing in words of knowledge. But they did it in the Bible. They used it throughout the Bible. Words of knowledge, prophecies. Don't you think God loves you enough to talk to you through somebody in an individual way? Is that the problem? Or is it because He's never used you, so you can't believe in it? You need to be careful and receive them. It's better to receive and be sure than to be doubtful and to miss out on God speaking personally to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Danny, why don't you come up here and dismiss us tonight? Dismiss us to go home and have God keep us safe. Hold us real close to your mouth.
Hey, Father, I pray for having me, Lord. And the other one shoot up my mom, Lord. I pray for the home, Lord. Hey, how do you feel, Lord?
Praise God. Thank you, brother. Lord bless everybody.
We need to have the teenagers that are going on the trip Friday need to meet at the church at noon. Same with the young kids, Charlotte.